This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're back with The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Xiaoning. Now, earlier this week, human rights lawyer and Lawyers for Liberty Executive Director Latifah Khoya made history, becoming Malaysia's first ever woman to head the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission.
Latifah is the fifth MACC Chief Commissioner, taking over from Dato' Sri Mohamed Shukri Abdul, who shortened his contract, which was due to end on May 17, 2020. Now, she's in fact the first woman to be appointed in charge of this country's anti-corruption authority. And her appointment, however, in the midst of waves of praises, has also raised eyebrows of many who call into question the manner in which she was appointed.
So to get some insights into this, we have on the line with us Thomas Fun, chairperson of Bursa 2.0. Thank you for joining us, Thomas. Now, Bursa has expressed doubts about the appointment. To what extent does due process and experience give nuance to your stance?
Hi, good morning. I think, first of all, we think that Latifah is the right person to head MACC because she is known to be a no-nonsense and a very courageous lady. And she has consistently spoken up on issue of injustice. So I think as a person, we are not opposed to her. But I think we are concerned, especially when we heard that the manner in which she was appointed was purely on Prime Minister's own decision. He didn't even consult his cabinet at all. So I think that was the concern that we have.
And Thomas, the many commentators have come out to say, including Judge Gopal Sriram, who said that this is actually the prerogative of the Prime Minister, and he advises the Argonne, who would then appoint the MACC chief. Do you see anything wrong with this move, that the Prime Minister has not actually breached any laws here?
Yes, I think we also stated in our statement that under current law, no law was broken. This is the current process. The Prime Minister has the prerogative and he advises the King on who he wants, and the King then would appoint the key persons to this institution. So as far as law is concerned, no law is broken. But as far as a good check and balance process, which was promised by Pakatan Harapan in their manifesto, that they would not allow the Prime Ministers to interfere in key appointments. They would form this select committees in Parliament to vet key appointees. Now, these parliamentary select committees have already been formed. You know, there's one in Parliament since last December. But they have not been called in or even informed of key appointments like the IGP, the Chief Justice, and EC commissioners as well, you know, that was appointed by, we thought, perhaps by the Cabinet. But this time when Mahathir said that he personally did not even consult the Cabinet, I think that highlighted a very key problem, not just breaking the Pakatan promise, but also a key weakness in the way we govern this country.
Yeah, in Malaysia, we seem to have this history repeating itself with the appointment of key positions without due process. Now, why is this the case when, like you mentioned, it's so against Pakatan's policies and even with the creation of these parliamentary select committees?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's quite regrettable because it seems that the Prime Minister and the public at large perhaps have forgotten what happened just more than a year ago when the former Prime Minister Najib Razak did exactly the same thing, using the same power that he has under law to appoint his people so that he can cling on to power despite the exposure of the 1MDB scandal. And he did all that, you know, with the AG, with the IGP, MACC chief. He just put in his people. I mean, we have to learn from history. And moving forward, this shouldn't be happening. But why this is happening, I guess, is because it is much easier when you don't have to deal with committees and a process. You know, you just make your own decision. Now, that is fine if You are a person of integrity, if you are a person with good intention, but we cannot build a country depending on a person's good graces, but we need strong and independent institutions to be check and balances.
Thank you so much, Thomas, for your comments. That was Thomas Fun, chairperson of Bersih 2.0. And earlier, we asked you, do you agree with Latifa Khoya's appointment as MACC chief? And we ran a poll on the BFM Twitter, that's at BFM Radio. And we've got about 230 votes so far, and the result seems to be pretty split. So we've got about 30% said no, 25% said it's complicated. Now, the 35% said yes, they do agree, and 11% says doesn't matter to me. And I don't know, how do you guys fall on this question? Because I find myself slightly conflicted. So I think I would fall in the it's complicated bracket. Because while I agree on Latifa Khoya's appointment solely by virtue of the fact that I believe she can do the job, I don't think it should have been done in the way that it was.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the no side. I would vote for no because I think that I agree with Bersih while the Prime Minister has not breached any rules. Mm-hmm. They have indeed breached the election
the
promise.
The social contract, right?
Yeah, the election promise, yeah. As well as we need to move away from this kind of situations where one person makes the decision, you know, personality-based decision-making to more of a principle-based decision-making. You know, you got to give justification of why you appointed this person. And I think that there would be huge issues of conflicts with Latifa. In spite of the fact that she's a fighter, right, and she's no holds barred, no nonsense kind of person, we respect that. But the question then it becomes a very big issue with her impartiality.
Yeah, there are questions about the... In the past, we always had this issue about political appointees to positions in administration, right? And we had hoped that we had moved away from it. So this gives a little bit of like confusion to us as to what is Pakatan's policy actually really with regards to key positions like this.
And Thomas said something interesting, which was that it was probably easier to make this appointment unilaterally rather than having to go through committees and take the potential appointment to Parliament and so forth. But I don't think that in this case we should be taking the easier option because, you know, a dictatorship is easy. Democracy is not easy.
It's always hard work.
So we have to put in the work. We have to put in the hours. And so if it takes a longer time to make the decision, at the end of the day, the more people that weigh in will be more reflective of the opinions of the society.
We have also to respect the process.
Exactly. Also, if this was BN and BN appointed one of those fearless of their own people, would you have answered the poll differently? Right.
All right. Thank you so much for weighing in on the poll. Now, you've still got a little bit of time left to vote. You've got about an hour. So after this, we'll be coming back with the Breakfast Grill after the 8 o'clock news, where I'll be speaking to Ashoka Modi, author of Eurotragedy, A Drama in 9 Acts. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.